speaking.
It's 8:04 on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine for Tuesday, January 28th of 2025. Hey there, I'm Jackie Sedley. Coming up on today's program, what towns across the West can learn from the horrific fires in California. After that, it's This Week in Water with Franny Halperin and Jamie Suttler. And we'll wrap up with our listener comment line. How on Earth comes your way this morning, right after the 8:30 BBC headlines. This week's science show will look at the science of gangs. Immigrant gangs like Tren de Aragua that's being cited by the Trump administration as the reason for large-scale deportations. You'll hear about how serious the problem of gangs really is, how much immigrant gangs are an issue. Our guest will be CU criminologist David Peruse, whose specialty is gangs. At 9, it's the wit and wisdom of Alan Watts. And at 9:30, it's the morning sound alternative. Teen on listener-supported KGNU. This is the Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. Multiple wildfires were burning in Southern California at the start of the month. More than 12,000 homes and businesses had burned to the ground. At least 28 people had died, and thousands are unhoused with nowhere to go. What's happening there, what happened there, and is continuing to happen in the aftermath is cataclysmic. And it's also a wake-up call for towns all over the West. Dave Marston shares his thoughts on this as part of the Writers on the Range series, shared with us through Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
This is Writers on the Range, a weekly column featuring personal essays about the economic and political changes happening across the Western landscape. Today, one writer's thoughts on the American West.
Los Angeles is a wake-up call for the West, especially Durango, by Dave Marston. After fierce winds whipped fire out of brush-covered hills on January 7th, entire Los Angeles neighborhoods burned down. Within a few days, over 12,000 homes and businesses had been destroyed as flames ringed the city. And it's not over yet. The photos of smoldering neighborhoods and distraught residents are horrific and shocking. Could they also presage the kind of wildfire that might overtake Durango, a town of about 20,000 in southwestern Colorado? It's a question worth asking. Local fire experts say Los Angeles and Durango are similar in topography. Durango doesn't experience the hurricane-force Santa Anita winds that pushed the LA fires, but it does often have sustained winds of 30 miles per hour and gusts over 40 miles per hour, which can vault burning embers great distances. Perhaps more importantly, the big city and the town share the same pattern of development. Angelenos have long coveted proximity to wooded canyons for their homes. Durango residents crave the same access to nature, pushing housing into canyons. In both places, million-dollar homes have been built among flammable trees. Other similarities include lax regulations that fail to dissuade wildland builders. Then there's the question of storing enough water and having sufficient water pressure to fight blazes. Los Angeles ran out of water fast because attacks on simultaneous fires quickly drew down supplies. Durango uses around 4 million gallons daily and has 2 weeks of storage in its terminal reservoir. But if the city ran a dozen or more high-flow hydrants, water pressure would plummet in days. Here's a suggestion. Prioritize building the $11.3 million 36-inch proposed waterline from Lake Nighthorse, a nearby reservoir, to the city system, boosting raw water storage to 4 months. Durango has a history of large wildfires. In 2002, the 73,000-acre Missionary Ridge Fire torched 46 structures. The town suffered another blow in 2018 when wildfire ringed the town, burning 54,130 acres. Randy Black, Durango Fire Protection District Fire Chief, is quick to point out that not one structure was lost in 2018, thanks to a coordinated effort by local and state crews. "We got lucky," he said. "If the June 2018 fire happened later in the season, resources wouldn't have been available." Also key were carefully forged relationships among regional firefighting resources, Black said, along with extensive planning. 180 employees and volunteers staff the Durango Fire District, which covers both the city and a 325-square-mile swath of the county. Black said they focus on what he calls the most important aspect of firefighting, mitigation meant to keep wildland fires from starting in the first place. "That means working to create fire breaks between wildlands and urban areas and removing fuels within the urban core. The town participates by thinning wooded areas on its perimeter, and federal agencies manage both thinning and controlled burns. If you don't do the fire mitigation, you run the risk of whole neighborhoods catching on fire," Black said. Another similarity between Los Angeles and Durango is that both share difficulty in getting fire insurance. Some insurers have pulled out of California entirely, and when the Durango Fire District built its new in-town firehouse last year, Black said, no one would insure the structure at first. Colorado insurance companies had just weathered 10 years of property losses to wildland fire, and they were loath to take chances. Colorado's new state-backed FAIR plan offers a last resort for home insurance, but it's bare-bones coverage of homes worth up to $750,000. With building costs in Durango now estimated to be $500 to $700 per square foot, losing a 2,000-square-foot home to wildfire means rebuilding a much smaller house. "I've talked to many wildland fire experts about how towns can fight these multiple destructive blazes. Their suggestions boil down to three basics. First, make building requirements stringent for any home proposed in wildlands. Second, get residents involved. The Durango Fire District offers homeowners free assessments of fire risk, and it also advises the creation of three zones around a house. Remove anything flammable within 5 feet. Include a turnaround big enough for fire vehicles, and allow only widely spaced trees and mown grass out to 100 feet. A third step is hardening existing structures with fireproof building materials. Black, who built his own house, said he chose cement siding and a metal roof. If homeowners take these steps, say insurers, they stand a better chance of keeping their insurance policies. 24 people have lost their lives in the Los Angeles fires as of January 12th. Their deaths are a wake-up call to everyone living in the West, especially Durango. Dave Marston is the publisher of Writers on the Range. He lives in Durango, Colorado.
Writers on the Range is an independent nonprofit dedicated to spurring lively conversation about the West. Our op-eds are featured in local publications and online. To find out more or to sign up for our weekly newsletter, visit writersontherange.org. If you've thought about it, we've probably written about it.
This episode of Writers on the Range was produced by KVNF Community Radio. Our theme song was written by Kane Hollins and performed by John Hickam and Kane Hollins. To listen to more Writers on the Range, visit kvnf.org.
Writers on the Range was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio, a network of public media stations in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, including KGNU. @8:21 on listener-supported KGNU. This is The Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. Time now for This Week in Water with Franny Halperin and Jamie Sutler.
Why the U.S. leaving the Paris Agreement may not be a bad thing. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
Immediately after being sworn in, President Trump took radical actions on environmental policies.
Without any evidence, he declared an energy emergency to streamline fossil fuel development, saying there was an inadequate supply and an increasingly unreliable grid.
He then halted new offshore wind permits and moved to eliminate subsidies for electric vehicles. He paused the distribution of money allocated but not yet spent for EV charging.
Trump froze a Biden administration plan to limit the discharge of PFAS chemicals into waterways by manufacturers. The compounds, also called forever chemicals, are linked to a wide range of health issues, including cancer, liver and kidney damage, as well as developmental problems in babies. They've been used in many products like nonstick cookware and clothing.
Although Trump's actions seem dramatic and decisive, Dave Farber, a law professor at University of California, Berkeley, wrote on his blog that few executive orders have immediate impact. He described them as just a memo on fancy letterhead.
Rolling back existing rules means that various federal agencies will have to repeal them, which takes time, and many will be challenged in court.
As he did during his first term, Trump is pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Agreement, which aims to keep global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius. There are only three other countries not participating: Yemen, Iran, and Libya.
Despite Trump's declaration, 24 U.S. governors say they'll remain committed to the goals of the agreement.
While the U.S. is the second largest emitter of greenhouse gases after China, it may be better for the country to be out of the agreement while Trump is president, says Rebecca Markey Towler of the University of Melbourne. She writes in The Conversation that while the talks continue, the rest of the world can keep working on climate goals without Trump's corrosive and destabilizing influence.
She points out that the U.S. under Trump could try to weaken any agreements struck at future meetings, as did Saudi Arabia at the last conference in Baku. And other nations like China and the EU will continue to lead on climate action.
Meanwhile, Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, said that his foundation will pay the financial obligations owed by the U.S. under the climate agreement, about $7.5 million per year.
When the fires broke out in the Los Angeles area, researchers from the Scripps Institution of Oceanography and NOAA were conducting routine surveys of the coastal waters off California, as they've done for over 75 years.
The day after the Palisades fire started, the crew could see large plumes of smoke in the distance, and some of the ash was falling on the ship as it neared Catalina Island, about 22 miles from the coast. Even as they made their way to a sampling location some 100 miles offshore, the burnt debris was still visible.
Recognizing the opportunity to track the effects of the fire on the marine ecosystem, the crew changed course and headed toward shore, where they began collecting samples of the debris on the ship's deck and in the surrounding waters.
The LA fires consumed massive amounts of urban infrastructure, potentially filled with toxic materials such as heavy metals like lead and arsenic, as well as asbestos and microplastics.
The team sampled both surface water as well as deeper layers down to 300 feet to see how the particles, some of which were up to 2 inches long, were sinking.
Long after the fires are extinguished, they will look for traces of toxic materials in the tissue of organisms from plankton to larger fishes.
Meanwhile, the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health urged residents to avoid swimming, surfing, and playing at certain beaches due to toxic ash from surface runoff and smoke.
While rain was expected in the area and could help in firefighting efforts, it could also send more debris offshore.
And finally, antibiotics have been used to treat bacterial infections since the early 20th century, but their overuse has led to superbugs that are resistant to many medications, so there's an urgent need to find new drugs.
Turns out that oysters may offer pearls of wisdom. According to new research by Southern Cross University, proteins in their blood can kill certain bacteria responsible for a range of infections.
Oysters, which are filter feeders, have evolved strong defense mechanisms against bacteria in their marine environments, and one such weapon is a protein in their blood that can prevent and disrupt biofilms, sticky substances created by bacteria to evade a host's immune system and many antibiotics they may be taking.
The researchers found that the protein can also significantly improve the effectiveness of antibiotics to which bacteria have become resistant.
While a new antibiotic derived from oyster blood is still some time off, The discovery brings hope for natural alternatives to treat infections.
Until then, the researchers say don't slurp oysters in place of antibiotics, but go ahead and enjoy them. They contain zinc, fatty acids, and vitamins that can keep you healthy.
That's it for this week in water. Support comes from Wright Water Engineers, providing water resources engineering in Colorado and beyond for more than 60 years. Project services and resumes are online at WrightWater.com.
Just about 8:28 on listener-supported KGNU. This is The Morning Magazine. I'm Jackie Sedley. We'll wrap up now with our listener comment line.
Yes, hello. My name is Roger Carney, and I live in Littleton, Colorado here. And I just want to express my appreciation to KGNU for airing the Hemispheres program the third Tuesday every month, which I just listened to. And I greatly appreciate Joe, Ed, and Doug for their perceptive and intelligent commentary each month.
And that brings us to the end of today's Morning Magazine. Once again, I'm your host, Jackie Sedley. Want to let everyone that's tuned in right now know that our on-air signal for FM station is down at the moment. So we have no on-air signal on our FM channel. You may already know that because you called in or because you couldn't get a signal on your dial, and so you went to our website. The stream on our website is just fine, so you can head to kgnu.org or to the KGNU app and listen as you regularly would. You can also tune into 1390 AM in the Denver metro area if you live out there. Once again, having an issue at the signal and a signal issue at the transmitter site. But you can head to kgnu.org or tune in to 1390 AM in Denver. We're working as hard as we can. I'm not doing that. It's Eric and Evan working as hard as they can to try and bring that signal back for you all. So thank you for your patience. How on Earth is going to come your way this morning, right after the 8:30 BBC headlines. This week's show, hosted by Shelley Schlender, will look at the science of gangs. Immigrant gangs such as Tren de Aragua have been cited by the Trump administration as the reason for large-scale deportations. But how much are immigrant gangs really an issue? And what is the landscape of gangs in places like Colorado? Our guest will be CU Boulder criminologist David Peruse. Stay with us. That's coming up in just a couple minutes.